From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this local and statewide news update. Cannabis cafes are coming to Alaska. State regulators approved the state's first licenses for on-site marijuana consumption on Thursday. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, the two shops are set to be the first in the state to allow consumers to smoke marijuana right where they buy it.
Cannabis Corner in Ketchikan and Good Sense in Fairbanks will be the first two marijuana dispensaries in Alaska to allow patrons to spark up on site. That's following a decision by Alaska's Marijuana Control Board Thursday.
This is a huge deal. I mean, we're making history here.
That's Amy Zantua. She co-owns Cannabis Corner with her husband, Kanoe Zantua. He says they hope to seat their first patrons early next month.
We just have to finish the ventilation and then just move in all the furniture.
Ketchikan is a popular destination for tourists on Alaska cruises, but state law prohibits people from smoking marijuana in public. Cannabis Corner will give those cruise passengers somewhere to legally light up. State regulators lay out a number of requirements for smoking lounges. They have to be in a freestanding building and provide adequate ventilation, among other things. But some local officials say the site's location, 9 miles north of downtown Ketchikan, gives them pause. Two borough assembly members said they were concerned that the relatively remote location would mean more stoned drivers on the road. But Kanoe Zantua says Cannabis Corner will provide information about bus routes and taxi services. Plus,
if they drive up on their own, we're not going to let them in the room. They're going to have a designated driver or take the bus.
Good Sense, the Fairbanks dispensary approved for on-site consumption, is aiming to open April 20th. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
North Pole Republican Representative Tammy Wilson surprised fellow lawmakers and just about everybody else Friday by announcing that she's quitting the legislature to take a job with a state agency that she's often fought against during her 10 years in the State House. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Wilson's announcement came at the end of the first week of this year's legislative session.
Today, I am formally tendering my letter of resignation from House District 3.
Wilson delivered a double surprise when she told fellow lawmakers that she's quitting to take a job with the State Office of Children's Services. That's the agency she's tangled with many times during her 10 years in the legislature, mainly over child welfare cases.
As many of you know, I have fought cases through the Office of Children's Services, advocating for families, helping them through it.
That's what she was doing back in 2016 when she asked for a grand jury investigation of OCS over her concern that the agency was increasingly removing children from troubled homes. She told KUAC that she'd reviewed records that showed the agency was, in some cases, violating state law by removing those kids and placing them into foster care.
Regulations that they have put into place, they have training. What we have found is that they're just not following it. And what happens are parents and children are being ripped apart from each other and have no chance of being reunited.
On Friday, Wilson told lawmakers that she'll be taking a job with OCS in Fairbanks that'll enable her to monitor those child welfare cases.
There are times that the Office of Children's Services need to step in, but most of the time we just need to surround our families with the resources that they truly need. And that's the opportunity that I've been given.
A State Department of Health and Social Services news release issued Friday evening stated that Governor Mike Dunleavy and DHSS Commissioner Adam Crum had created a policy advisor role in the commissioner's office and named Wilson to the new post. The release says Wilson will, quote, act as a parent resource and help support family resiliency by helping families navigate the child welfare system and working with OCS on positive reform. Close quote.
My biggest goal here is not just to help parents through the system, but try to get it so that they're not in the system.
House members followed Wilson's announcement Friday with bipartisan bonhomie, regaling her with tributes like House Speaker Bryce Edgman, an independent who singled out her work ethic.
Perhaps one of the hardest working, if not the hardest working, legislator.
Others, like Juneau Democrat Sarah Hannon, praise the conservative Republicans' willingness to work with members of the other party on some issues.
I represent a district that's very different than House District 3, and I did not expect to find a mentor in her.
Still others, like Bethel Democrat Tiffany Zilkoski, praised her dedication to children's issues and her support for legislation that protects the rights of Alaska Native families, like the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA.
And I always really loved how much you championed the work of the Tribal Child Welfare Compact, and really believe in ICWA.
Wilson didn't return calls over the weekend to comment on, among other things, how much she'll be paid and when she'll begin work at her new job. There's already concerns among some observers over whether state law allows an ex-legislator to take a job, especially in a new position, within a year of leaving the legislature. As for her vacant House seat, state law requires the governor to appoint a person of the same political affiliation within 30 days of the lawmaker's departure. And the state GOP requires local party officials to send a list of prospective replacements to the governor. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Already this winter, at least 7 people have been reported caught in avalanches around Alaska. Of those, 2 people were killed near Haines just before New Year's Eve. What about avalanche conditions in Juneau, in the Juneau area right now? KTUO's Matt Miller went out with a heli-ski guide to find out.
Ed Shanley takes a portable shovel out of his backpack and digs into the season's snowpack. A big rectangular pit starts taking shape. It's almost 3 feet deep with perfectly straight vertical sides. Shanley says you shouldn't use this kind of test to justify doing something risky.
You should always be kind of trying to find instability is kind of the mindset that I take.
That's why Shanley may dig as many as 10 snow pits each day. Shanley is a part-time avalanche technician for a utility company, but his main winter gig is as a guide for a local heli-skiing company, and I went out with him recently to find out what he does before taking clients out. When he's done digging and shoveling snow, he points out the different layers, like a geologist who uses a fossil record to determine the age of rock going back in time. Reading each deeper snow layer tells a story about the winter, starting with the top 5 inches.
Because we have so little snow, you can see there's new snow that we just got. There's a little bit of a crust here, which is, I think, what was left over from the wind.
Mid-January's high winds and cold snap compacted the snow into an inch and a half heavy, hard layer. Underneath that, 6 inches of coarse snow that comes apart very easily in Shanley's hand.
And it's turning into these kind of weak, sugary, faceted snow crystals. So that's like not a very good setup. You don't have a huge amount of load on it or anything, and if you were to have an avalanche, it'd be pretty shallow.
That snow layer is the weakest. Below that, 2 feet of December's frozen rain and ice all the way down to the soil. With a handsaw, Shanley cuts a long block along the edge of the pit, but he leaves the block in place. He gently sets the blade of the shovel flat on top and then taps it with his finger repeatedly.
See a little bit of movement here.
I almost didn't notice it, but eventually the weak snow layer collapses very slightly. The top 2 layers of the block shear or shift a tiny fraction of an inch down and out. That's the instability that Shanley was looking for that could start an avalanche.
If we were on a steeper location, that would have probably fallen into the pit.
At the time, Shanley says it wasn't a great snowpack, not horrible either, but after the past week's weather, more snow, rain, and higher temperatures. He said the avalanche hazard was trending higher, but warmer temperatures could break down some of those layers and actually help long-term stability. What if you come down out of the mountains and into downtown Juneau?
We were seeing some small avalanches around the region and wet loose avalanches.
Tom Matisse, urban avalanche forecaster for the city and borough of Juneau, says there's always more danger of an avalanche with additional snow and rain. That weak layer still exists, but so far he says the snowpack is still fairly thin.
The dangers are not incredibly high right now in the backcountry in the areas down low. As you're hiking along Perseverance Trail, as you're hiking along the Flume Trail, there's some concern, but it takes huge avalanches to get down to there.
Where are avalanches likely to start? Shanley tells me any slope over 30 degrees, under a rounded outcropping, or near a cornice. When? Well, right after high winds, a big rainfall or snowstorm, or during big changes in temperature. Shanley says keep an eye out for warning signs like big cracks in the snow, or a hollow drum sound on hard snow, or the telltale woof. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And taking a quick look at weather, it's currently 36 degrees with light rain at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, snow showers predicted, high near 34 degrees. low around 33, new snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible. And that's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Madeline Baxter.